The Trials of Apollo, The Burning Maze, Chapter 9. Collect call from horse. Do you accept the charges? Nay, yay, 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 yay. Oh, villainy. Please explain to me why I always end up falling into dumpsters.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Ava, Neve, how are we?
We're okay. I was trying to crack my back. We're okay. Doing well. I'm still reading. Did I tell you guys about the bad book that I'm reading?
No.
Okay. I'm reading a really bad mystery book right now. And it's one of those bad books that it's like, it's now bad enough to be like, but it's like just bad enough to be like, I can read this thoughtlessly at any time of day, anywhere I am, and have an absolute blast. So I'm really enjoying my bad book. At the moment I'm chilling. Yeah, working a decent amount, but making good money. The wage that they pay me at the Bath and Body Works is great. That's about it. How are you guys? How are you, Neve?
Oh, the lives I have lived today. Today was like supposed to be such a normal, like, you know, when you go to work for a double, you're like, this is my day. Like, this is my whole day. I will be here. And then lunch was so slow and they needed someone to close. So they were like, how about we let you go at 1:30 and you come back at 4:00? And so then I had like a weird, like 3-hour break where I like came home and like did computer work. And it was so like, it made my day so strangely disjointed. But otherwise, like, it was all good. It was just like, oh, the lives I have lived today. I was on the bus coming home. I was like, I'm on this bus again. Like, yeah. I've been on the bus 4 times today. I was not anticipating that. But I'm doing good. I have been doing good. This is like the longest. To think that Halloween was a week ago is crazy.
Longest.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ever.
True. I cannot believe that, like, literally a single week ago was, like, the holiday of Halloween.
Did we even release an episode last week? Yeah, we did. On Halloween. We recorded on Halloween.
Yeah.
That's what we did with our Halloween. I went, it's been so long.
The longest week. But, like, a good week. Good week. Just.
Yeah.
Has just kind of a busy, exhausting week.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, that's the word for it.
Exhausting.
That's another way of, that's another how I'm doing. I'm a little exhausted, but that's okay.
I have 2 days off in a row tomorrow, though, from my restaurant.
Oh, good for you.
Remotely, but it's okay because that is a lot less effort.
Yeah.
Than, like, going to like my restaurant job. So I'm very excited to have 2 days off of that.
And you have the past weekend kind of off a little too.
So yeah.
You kind of lucked out accidentally on where you're.
I know. It's really weird. They keep putting it. It's because I like can only have a certain amount of shifts per week. And when they schedule me as doubles, like that counts for 2 shifts. So then if I can only have like 5 to 6 a week and I'm doing 2 in one day, that leaves a day open.
That's solid.
So Slay, how are you, Brayden?
I'm actually pretty good. I'm not tired for once.
Wow,
it's good. Like a long time. Yes. I really used my weekend, aka Monday and Tuesday, productively, meaning I worked 9 to 5 my other jobs, but didn't have to do my theater job. So like I cleaned the house a lot. I did laundry. I did a lot of cooking. Today was particularly, I put on most of season 6 of Beverly Hills in the background while I did my remote work today. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, to clarify. Just like if you thought it was like Beverly Hills 90210 or something, like, yeah. And then I just like cooked a bunch and I felt very productive. I was like, this is the appeal of a 9-to-5. Because I did a whole thing and then I had so much time left in my day. I was like, wow, we're recording at 10:30. That's like 5 hours from now.
I know. I always feel that when I work morning shifts. I'm like, I have, the world is my oyster.
I know.
I talked to my coworkers about The Real Housewives today.
You did?
I did, because they were all talking about it and they all have like various.
It is crazy. I feel like
we're all watching Housewives
and no one's talking about it.
They were talking about, because like they all watch like different franchises.
Yes. Yeah. Like so I have people at work too that like, but yeah. Most of the people at work I know have and watched, I feel like Jersey or Atlanta.
Most of them watch Jersey and Atlanta.
A lot of people around here watch Jersey.
Orange County.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me put y'all on to Salt Lake City. Like, you guys don't even understand. These women are committing crimes. And they were like, really? I was like, please, if you're ever bored, like, please go watch Salt Lake City. These women hate each other. They are literally criminals. It's so entertaining.
The way I got Neve hooked on the, because I was.
That's impressive, like, because.
Yeah, the New York. Well, I really like a lot of the girls. It wasn't super exciting. The phone thing was interesting, but like stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing interesting. Salt Lake City girls be committing crimes.
No, I'm not surprised.
They're like they are yelling at each other in public spaces.
They don't like each other. None of them like each other.
That's the thing. The girls in New York do like each other.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, they get annoyed with each other sometimes.
They fight and then
like,
they make up.
They're willing to work it out. They are not willing to work it out on Salt Lake City. They're just contractually obligated to keep seeing each other.
Exactly.
See, I'm very impressed that you got Neve to like Real Housewives, because I remember, was it The Bachelor that you hated?
No, she doesn't like The Bachelor.
The Bachelor is the worst show.
Don't worry. I also hate The Bachelor.
I remember sitting in your guys' apartment watching it being like, this is the worst television
show. It is.
It's brain rot. This is so.
I really got into that one season though.
And I can't understand that, because like I get into the worst shows ever. Like I love terrible TV.
Do you do Love Island?
No, actually.
You should.
I watched a season of Love Island when. In sophomore year of college with like the people that I was living with, loved it, but it's a show that you watch as a group. You know what I mean?
Fair.
But it's also
Love
like
Island is like kind of the Big Brother effect of like, there's simply too much of this per week for me to like be.
Yeah. Like that's fair.
Trying.
I
want to start Big Brother.
I love Big Brother on TikTok. I like really fall into like the TikTok.
If you ever have like a summer to yourself, and or if you want to like binge something interesting, to watch Big Brother live is like a full-time job.
Yes, it is.
Because they air like 4 episodes a week, and like you can go on CBS Plus and like watch live feeds. It's insane.
And I Drag Race is not dissimilar. I feel like when Drag Race is when mainline Drag Race is on, it is all I'm thinking about
for those
couple months. But like the tangentials like don't get me that much. Like
I can't keep up.
Off UK.
I know.
We should get back on it.
We should watch it.
It wasn't bad.
No.
No, especially season two was great.
Yeah. But
I want to get into
No, you go.
Okay. On the topic of Big Brother, which I also want to get into, I just feel like in my destiny lies The Amazing Race.
Yeah,
it does.
That makes sense for you.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'd love it, because first of all, like, Survivor has become my comfort show. I love Survivor, you guys. Oh, just so many shapes and colors, same form with just enough difference. Crazy people, love it. Really pretty, scenic. So I just know The Amazing Race is going to be similar, except it's like a race. Like that's, it's like Mario Kart.
I do think I would also like The Amazing Race. I do like Survivor. Yes. I don't enjoy watching the actual like competition parts of it.
Oh, yeah. I love
that. I know. I think that's why Housewives like really fits my niche. Drag Race I like, because the competitions are also things like separately, like the like fashion and like acting challenges and comedy, like and dance, mm-hmm. like those are things I'm separately interested in. Right. But like out of a reality show, I'm kind of mostly looking for drama.
Mm,
and Housewives is only that.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to watch them solve a puzzle to fight each other.
See, I like the half and half.
Fair.
But I respect that.
I do like Big Brother challenges a little bit because they're really nonsensical.
Mm.
And I do respect that.
I haven't seen a single episode of it.
I've never watched a full season, like start to finish, but I've watched a lot of content of Big Brother on TikTok.
A full season start to finish with my sister because my sister loves Big Brother.
That makes sense.
Like she'll fully, like she'll get into it. And she was like, you just have to. And like, it's, you start every episode and you're like, this is useless. But then by like 6 minutes in, you're like, and I think the strategy is like, it's actually like a really interesting premise for a show. The amount of episodes that they air per week is like criminal. Like I think that it would be a lot more appealing to a wider audience if they just cut it down to even two, because like the three or four that they're airing every week is crazy. And I get that it's
there's live. Also a constant live stream. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that it's because it's like actually happening. Like that moment. It's really interesting though.
Yeah.
It's like there is like a lot of like strategic, it's like the simplest game that has like the crazy
it is like
strategic thinking.
It is only the like strategy part of Survivor.
Yeah. And okay. They
do stupid, I love that.
They have little challenges.
Which is my favorite part of Survivor.
Am I about to describe Big Brother? I'll try and wrap it up fast. It's like basically they put a whole bunch of people in a house for the summer together. They cut them off from the world. Like when the COVID-19 pandemic happened, they had to like inform the Big Brother house that like, cause they were completely cut off from everything.
Wow. That's so funny.
They like put them in this like gigantic mansion. And they have competitions.
They would have been safer staying in it.
I think they might've. I'll have they, to guess
I,
that.
I can't remember.
But yeah. They like have competitions to have people basically each week someone becomes the head of household, and that is like a Survivor-esque competition. It's normally it's a lot simpler, like it
it's nothing like put the ball in the
yeah
hole.
Nothing puts you in danger. Yeah. It's like silly little games. It's basically like a Drag Race mini challenge.
Recently on the current season, they dressed up like ants and like had to protect their like nests.
Yeah, it's a really easy That's game. Funny. But like that, the winner of that game becomes head of household. And then the head of household nominates two people to be like the choices to be eliminated that week. And it's based off nothing. Like it's, you literally just go on there and you're
so it's like Drag Race. Okay.
It's like all social game. And then there's also like these little challenges where you can win head of household. You win, like there's another like mini challenge esque thing where you can win a veto power to like take someone off the block. And like basically you form alliances. It's a really, really interesting game because there is like no structure to it. It's just like these people are going in a house, and if you don't like someone, you can just vote them out for fun. Like they like it's a really interesting game that way. But it's just, it's happening live and they air like four episodes a week. So you just have to like be paying attention all the time. If you watch the season live, great show to binge though, because it's all right there.
I feel like we should catch up with this season of Big Brother now.
It's really interesting. It's a really interesting show. Like
it seems like crazy for, I really want to watch the season. I've seen so much online of the season that Courtney Act was on, a Big Brother
celebrity.
She was?
Yeah.
No fucking way. Oh,
or God. Like Big Brother Australia celebrity. Like, and yeah. I also love that clip from Big Brother UK celebrity that is where it's like David Bowie's sister and she's like, David just died. And it's Tiffany, New York Pollard. And she's like, and there's another guy in the house named David. And she's freaking out because she's like, David just died. And just look it up. It's really funny. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not describing it well. But I just like search David died, Big Brother. Now I have to watch it. Maybe during our ad break, we'll do a viewing.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But based on the fact that you're not responding with hilarity, you don't know what I'm talking about.
responding with hilarity.
Welcome back to Return to the Apocalypse. We haven't started the episode yet. This week we'll be discussing the Trials of Apollo, the Burning Maze, chapters 9 through 12, through the theme of leadership. Neve, are you ready to summarize for us this week?
Not at all.
Well, you have a minute because I haven't pulled up the timer, but now I have, so go.
Okay, so the store blows up, and then they hide in the dumpster while a talking horse chats about the explosion, and then they get in the car, in Coach Hedges' car, which has miraculously survived this explosion, and drive back to the greenhouses where they report the news. And basically we get the big moment where Apollo finally reveals to everyone, even though he's known this entire time and has gotten so much proof, that it's Caligula as the emperor that they're fighting this time. And then we still don't get full context as to why Piper's family is kind of in limbo with Coach Hedge and his wife, but basically they're going to go find them because Piper and Jason might know something crazy that's describing what's happening in the maze.
You did really well for chapters that so much happens in.
No, I
know. Did miss the entire Meg backstory.
I know.
I know.
Time. It's just we have to end where they're going.
Basically, the point is Meg's dad is a plant scientist who has plants that the tribe doesn't want him to have.
So they blew up his house that used to be.
Which was crazy
and really well written. Yeah. Not being these books are good. We love them. They're not Pulitzer Prize winning literature, you know, but the Meg flashback, I was this is writing, this is Shakespeare, this is literature.
Yeah,
especially the part where she was or I guess it was Apollo narrating as per usual, but where he was and then when we were a few yards down the hill, the house burst into flames or something. And I was oh my God, the Sound and the Fury? Is this William Faulkner? Oh my God, no.
It literally. Jane Austen, who?
Right.
What songs did we bring this week?
Okay, I have an honorable mention, and then I have my real one. My honorable mention is where my brain went when I thought of how happy I was that Piper was coming back. And the honorable mention is Paint the Town Red by Doja Cat. Because I just feel like she would say, bitch, I said what I said. Be famous instead. I love it. I think it's so funny. And I think it's so cunty and it's so her. But Piper's not there yet. So I chose Gasoline by Maneskin, which is, to me, it's super about Caligula being the worst. Because it's literally a criticism of Putin's invasion of Ukraine, which is wild. But the premise is basically how do you sleep at night? How do you living with all of those lives on your hands, that kind of stuff. And we're not about to downplay all the crazy shit that Caligula did, because he was incredibly fucked up. So we're going to start on that note.
Work.
Period. So funny that I forgot to mention, or I guess I just didn't have time to mention the Meg thing, because my song is kind of about that. It's from an album that I have a difficult relationship with. The debut album from Fizz, which is Orla Gartland, Dodie Clark, and Friends.
Yes.
Difficult relationship with this album because it's actually pretty good. It's a pretty solid album with really fun sound that's a lot more rock inspired. The song that I'm picking is Lights Out. I won't get into the lyrics really talk about the same kind of relationship that Meg used to have with her father and missing that, and that's pretty much it. But this album is also, I feel like Meg would really like the general aesthetic of this band, and I have a complicated relationship with it because I don't.
Really?
And I'm literally so annoyed about it.
Are
because I love Orla, I love Dodie, like two of my favorite artists. And when I saw they were coming out with this band, I was like, oh my god, this looks pretentious and annoying. But then the album was like good, and I was like, okay, I have such a complicated relationship with this, but I think Meg would vibe.
I love their music, and our mutual friend, previous guest on this podcast, Gretchen, loves this band.
I know.
And recommended them to me. And I was like, you're right. I do like them.
The music.
I don't listen to them actively, but I'm like, I like this.
It's really good. This album's music is really, really cool.
But Gretchen does have Meg vibes.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, I still no hate. It's no hate to any of them. I just, when I saw the aesthetic, I was like, oh. I don't like this at all. But then I listened to the album and I was like, this, and the album doesn't even really reflect like how they're like dressing and acting, which I was like, this is so interesting. But overall, good listen. Listen to the album.
And I still need to.
Then browse their socials and decide for yourself if you like the aesthetic that they're going for. For some reason, it did not meld with me.
I'm about to tonal shift, and my choice of song got real serious because I was real caught up in and taken aback by the real loss of innocence in Meg's childhood. Seeing her at like 5 and like so joyful and like appreciative of the world. And knowing how much that is broken and how much abuse she suffers following these moments, I chose Never Grow Up, Taylor's version. By Taylor Swift is the saddest song ever written.
Most devastating.
Yeah.
Nothing, like literally I'm gonna start crying like thinking about it. Like if I need to cry, that is the song.
It's all yeah.
You have problems with your inner child? Yes, I'm certain you do. We all do. Listen to that song and not cry.
Literally.
Don't cry, I dare you. It is an emotional turmoil. Nothing quite as disturbing as that song, except maybe these chapters. It's like...
A perfect match.
Meg's story is so depressing.
It's so sad.
So fucking
and
sad.
And it's sprinkled throughout. Ha ha. I'm this gay little god who's a human now. Tee-hee-hee, I'm learning empathy.
This gay little
like,
god.
I've been abused since I was 7.
I also, it's like, this is now transitioning into like favorite moments, I guess, just because now we're just talking about this. But like this, the fact, I was thinking, could I even, when I was 13, like pull up a memory from when I was 5 or 6? Probably not. And the
I can remember when I was 5 or 6. Fuck you.
Yeah. Okay, like a couple things, but like these were like detailed, like a full, you know, a full saga. And it just made me think about how she probably remembers them because it was the last time that she like had happy moments. And I was like, this is so upsetting. Like well written, but just so upsetting.
That's so upsetting.
That made me sad.
The accent.
That is so upsetting.
Yeah, I loved that chapter.
It was great.
I also loved Piper coming back at the end.
Me too. I'm so excited. Oh, I
have a quote of what I like. Actually, maybe I can just... It's the section where it's like Melly is talking about Piper and Jason. It's like she thought she... This is about Piper. She thought she found a way to reach the center. She went exploring with that boy, Jason. That boy. My finely tuned senses told me Millie was not happy with Jason Grace. Neither are any of us.
And work.
Neither are any of us. I literally read that moment and was like screenshotted it. That was so good.
No one likes you. Go die.
We all hate you.
And like, Millie seems to be the pinnacle of trust, honestly. So
yeah. My sass moment is about Millie. I won't go there. I love her.
She's great.
I love her so much.
I love her. She is my Britta Martis of this book. She is she. I am standing. She's literally. She is a mother. She is a mother. I love her. Her and Chuck. We learned the baby's name.
The fact that it's
baby being named Chuck.
Okay. The fact that it's Chuck is actually the most Gleason Hedge thing I've ever fucking heard in my entire
Yes. life. He named his baby after Chuck Norris.
Oh my
no
God.
No baby's named Chuck. No baby you look at and say, Chuck.
Chuck.
Because that's
you know,
rude.
You know, and you know what? Babies don't have friends to begin with.
No, they don't.
And the baby surely isn't making friends if it's named Chuck.
Yeah.
Ever since we said that, like, so many different babies, we've been like, it doesn't have friends.
I've been surprised the past week how many times babies have come up in order for me to make this joke. But again, it's gotten me every time. I almost made the joke at work the other day, and I was like, this is not funny to you because you don't know the context of babies don't have friends.
They don't. I mean, it's just honesty.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, for the record, we did, on the break, watch the video, and...
It's great.
Thank you. I feel vindicated. leadership. Let's talk about leadership.
I don't know why you said it like that.
I don't know why I said it like that either.
Folded after that. Leadership, and then, like, cocooned in.
Where do we want to go first?
I would like to talk about Grover.
I would also like to talk about
I was thinking
why I chose the theme.
Yeah.
Because Grover. It also applies to other stuff, but particularly that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
King. He
I wish that was all.
Oh, I said
you're like, I would like to talk about
King.
Grover.
King. He is, but I think that this is just so not a role that we ever saw him in the original series of, like, getting to be a true leader of something that we paid attention to, I think is, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah, because he was doing this behind the scenes.
He was doing this behind the scenes, but we finally actually get to, like, see it, like, firsthand, mm-hmm. when normally it was like, and Grover's off to do this, but Percy is, like, not involved in that at all. I also just think these chapters, like, kind of touched a little bit on, like, the fact that Grover had to, like, just grow a lot on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, like, repeated mentions of, like, that he, like, of Percy and Annabeth, but him not seeing them for a while and, like, making all these accomplishments by himself, I thought was such a sweetie little thing to see from the growth of his character, who, like, was never truly, like, reliant on anyone, but, like, he so heavily based his self-worth in, like, being able to protect.
He was such a foil. He was, like archetype Lancer for Percy's character.
Yeah. So, like, getting to see him take this time up by himself to, like, grow into this leader and, like, have such a place of authority and, like, respect is so... so sweet.
I agree. Okay. And, like, again, we haven't read the recent books that have come out because we're catching up with these books.
We'll get there eventually.
I'm, like, this close to just finishing them all. Like, because I just, like, want to read these books. We're, like, not that far.
We aren't.
Because it takes, like, maybe, like, 2 months for us to finish a book. So, We're pretty close to catching up with the Sun and the Star and then the Chalice of the Gods. But I want a Grover book. I don't want a Trio book.
I want a Grover book placed like where
during
Heroes of Olympus. Like, what's going on?
I would say even during the original books.
That's true.
I'm off recruiting nature spirits.
Yeah.
True. Grover POV.
You know how they did the Twilight books, but from Edward's POV for no reason?
Yeah, no one asked. Maybe you did.
A lot of people did ask. I just hadn't really met them until recently.
Really? Who?
Yikes.
A lot. My roommate.
A lot.
For some reason, Chicagoans love Twilight.
Oh, were either of you Twilight girls?
No,
I wasn't. I never was.
No, because you guys were into Percy Jackson. Twilight was like fandom for people who weren't ready to commit, you know?
That's fucking real.
I was also talking about that at work today, that I was such a, like, I was a diehard Percy Jackson, because they were talking about Harry Potter stuff, and I was like, yeah, I didn't really read Harry Potter. I was a Percy Jackson girl, and they were like, well, I read both, and I was like, no, for some reason, I picked one and stuck to it. Like, I picked those books, and I was like, nothing will ever...
That makes a lot of sense.
...read another word other than these books. And then I read The Hunger Games and finally broke the cycle.
Real.
Neve, that's how you watch TV.
It is how I watch TV, literally. It's been since the beginning. I just read The Last Olympian over and over and over again.
I love The Last Olympian. Love Percy Jackson, obviously. But, like, I don't get it. Because I was also such a Hunger Games girly and such a, like, I hate that I'm going to say this, but it's just what's going to come out of my mouth. The juice therein is... in all of them mixed together, like, is in the multiverse.
I see what you're saying. Like,
that's the fun.
I was also a girl that was like, all of these books coexist. Like, I'm here for the, like,
right,
Infinity War, Secret Wars, Multiverse of Madness of fandom. Like, I mean, Hunger Games was hard to like reconcile with anything else because I was like, This is set specifically not in the time everything else was, but like real easy for you to convince yourself that Harry Potter and Percy Jackson coexisted.
Yeah, just different countries, bitch.
Yeah. The British, they don't care about the Greek gods.
Yeah.
They're too busy colonizing things.
The Hunger Games were so good.
Hunger Games were so good.
Never mind.
You were just saying who's excited for the new movie. Like, we can be excited for the new movie.
Enough. Okay.
Also, don't they have a waiver?
They actually do have. They also have a waiver
somehow.
Somehow.
That was going to be my question. Yeah.
Very excited. Viola Davis looks so good.
So good.
Viola Davis.
I really thought that it was coming out this weekend, but it's fully not. It's coming out next
weekend. No.
And that was like kind of devastating news. I didn't see it full price this weekend.
This weekend is the Marvels.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm also excited for
me. Yeah.
Off the record.
Anyway, right.
Yeah, I was trying to backtrack through the thought. Like, I had a thought that had to
Grover.
It didn't have to do with Grover. It was somewhere in between, in the middle of our tangent, but we'll never know now.
Never know. Leadership.
Oh, it was about fandom. It was something about fandom.
Oh,
it was that I saw there was a trending order this week on Twitter that was X-Men and then murdered and then JK Rowling. And I went, that is what happened to me. I went, yeah. It took me a while, but like, because Harry Potter was my number one. My ride or die. If you cannot tell, I have black hair and glasses. It's pretty obvious for me. And I don't even think I would relate to Harry. I think I'm more of a Ron, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't think I'm any of
from the movies. Like, sure. I've never read the books though.
Yeah. But I lost my train of thought. Oh, but when J.K. Rowling came out as being the worst person in the world, I have lost my ability to enjoy Harry Potter, like, almost at all, which is really sad. We don't talk about how sad it is as, it like, is like, those books were so important to me. Yeah. And, like, I still, like, own my Harry Potter books, and they're on my shelf, but I don't, like, reread them every year like I used to. I might like watch the movies, a movie once in a while and still enjoy it, but it's like, it's really not the same, which is really crazy. But I will say X-Men is something that it took a while, but like stepped in and filled that like void for me. Is like, I feel it. Yeah. And I was talking about this with Neve the other day, and Percy Jackson is this too, but because we do this podcast, Percy Jackson is like also a job, not like, you know, like, I don't want to engage with it a ton outside of this podcast because I want to like save my thoughts on Percy Jackson for this podcast.
Right.
But like X-Men is like the thing I like, everyone needs a thing they think about constantly. Like that, like really like core fandom thing for themselves. And that can be like sports for people, that can be entertainment. Like it can be different things. And I'm like, I'm very happy because for a while I was like lost without Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I'm glad that I have found solace in the X-Men.
Yeah.
It's like, if anyone out there who's pretending they don't have a thing that is like that,
they're lying. Sometimes.
You're just trying to be different. Because if your thing is video games, if your thing is sports, you're just misogynistic. The girlies love being in a fandom.
And that's I think I operate a little differently in that, like, for me, those periods of time happen in quicker succession. I think it's quite literally just because of my physical diagnosis of, like, ADHD, whatever, hyperfixation is, like, very real. But, like, mine just move on more quickly. But it's not like they get dropped. Like, it's just that I accumulate more things to think about.
Yeah.
And it rocks. So.
But, like, you always have those, like, core foundational things, too, that you'll always go back to.
Yeah.
The girlies love a fandom.
The girlies love a fandom.
The girlies love a fandom. Argue with the wall. Why are you so proud?
Right? I also, like, I saw a TikTok about this week that was, like, stressing the importance of this is also like it was kind of in a fan cam form, but like it really kind of hit, and I was like, this is weird, but I was like, it was reminding me how actually important and supportive fandom communities were like when we were in middle school on Tumblr.
They were so much fun
because like they're obviously
also wacky.
Yeah, like there are obviously like negative things to it, but like particularly, I'm saying this as someone who is not a woman, but like in the 2013 to 2016, I'll say, emphasis on like female lead characters was so revolutionary. The Katnisses, I'll say Triss, but like Hermione, Annabeth, like these are like, and the what they spawned on fandom Tumblr, even more beyond the media, is like we saw a way for even broadly like people who are not cis straight white men started to identify with fandom in a way that they couldn't before. When like we didn't have the internet and you're just like, I see this movie and I don't see myself in this movie and I let it go. But fandom allowed everyone to see find their positionality, because you find that one character who like maybe in a line is gay and you're like, there's a whole fan space on the internet that like will flesh out this for me.
Right.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm not a Harry Potter girly, as we have established, but I think all the time We've totally done. I'm happy with this conversation though. I think all the time about that that fan fiction about the like
the Marauders fan.
The Marauders fan fiction.
Marauders
for Harry Potter about like their parents and how I have never seen a like fan base of something so quickly and like effectively just pick up and like move on from the original creator of the media and be like, actually, we only like this thing that was like nothing to do with you now. Yeah. But like that was all created because of fan spaces. I think that was literally like uploaded to
fanfiction.net.
Like I think that was like a public, like something that was on a step above Wattpad.
And that's not talking about how Mortal Instruments was originally a Harry Potter incest fanfiction.
Yeah.
Did you not know this, Neve?
I would not.
Feels like a thing that you would know, but did you not read the Mortal Instruments?
Oh, I did.
So Cassandra Clare was famously originally a fan fiction writer. And she wrote a Ron and Ginny incest fanfic that was the first draft of City of Bones.
Which is fucking crazy.
But was also maybe plagiarized.
I don't even know.
There's also a bunch of plagiarism things with Cassandra Clare as well.
It's crazy.
The girlies do not support Cassandra Clare.
No.
Even though I loved those books for like a period of a couple months.
I
was going to say, I read the first three of them and I was like, God, I love these shits. And then I found that out and I was like, and we're done.
You're done.
A book series that would have been better if they stuck to the trilogy, and then she just kept writing.
I know.
And they got like offshoots in like different time periods. And I was like, you didn't
clockwork shit. I was like, all right.
Like you didn't world build well enough to do this.
No. But it's actually crazy that she got catapulted to fame after doing something like that.
I hate her.
Anyway,
all my homies hate Cassandra Clare.
And that's why it is crazy to have these social leaders in any sphere we're in, because they don't have to do good things to be thrown into positions of, guess what, leadership.
That is something that really interesting happens with fandom, is like fandom automatically creates leaders out of artists. And artists are not prepared to be leaders
they don't always ask. Yeah.
And like some artists like want like to and like have like a social motivation and that prepares them to be like activists and leaders, but like also sometimes that's thrust upon them. I'm thinking about how Rick Riordan is handling the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Oh no.
Just
I haven't
not talked well. To this
yeah.
We're
yeah.
Not, I'm not gonna like go into this a lot on here. But like, I'm talking about more the fact that like he has to comment on it.
No, completely.
Where it's just like, I didn't love the way Rick Riordan commented on it. Whatever. But this is someone who was given a leadership position upon him. And I'm not saying that these people don't have responsibility. Like even like, and J.K. Rowling, even as an example, is like, she does not have a responsibility to be a moral paragon because she wrote books that people like.
Yeah.
Right.
She does have a responsibility not to be a bigot, like as a person.
Right.
But like beyond her personal beliefs, she has taken on the role of like, she's accepted that leadership and being like, I'm going to use this for evil.
Yeah.
But like, I don't necessarily believe that artists are owed accepting that leadership.
Right. I agree with that.
Completely. Because like it is crazy how now, because like with there it is available for you to research every little aspect of someone's life and like who they are as a person just because you like things that they make. Also like the modern celebrity is a lot different than what it used to be. And there are still like classic celebrities who just like don't really like divulge their personal life, but there are entire legions of celebrities that got where they are because they overshared publicly.
Yeah.
Like, and like, that's their whole thing. So now it's like made it a lot more normal for them to have to share, have to like lead people in a certain direction and like share their opinions on things, because there are people who are famous only for like being them, like oversharing about themselves, yeah, and not like ever doing. I mean, I guess it's art in its own way.
It's been like a weird shift from tabloid culture to influencer culture, in which you went from you become a celebrity and then your life is open to the public to have to open your life to the public to become a celebrity.
Yeah.
Very different. They are flipping a sentence around, but they're very different structures. Right. I also just read the Britney book.
It's
and I've been like, thinking about this a lot.
Like the paparazzi were like tearing into your life like that when you were a celebrity.
But now you're expected to do it yourself.
You're expected to do it yourself, and you also get control of the narrative of like what you choose to share. So then in niche internet history, there was a guy named Gus Johnson who was a big YouTuber, a big commentary YouTuber. So I would actually like say leadership position, because he would like, he had a fan base of people who would watch his YouTube videos where he made takedown videos, basically, like just like, you know, criticizing someone for doing something wrong. And they were normally doing something wrong, like a different internet personality or something, and would like lead his fans to stop supporting that person. Sometimes they would like leave comments and stuff. Like it was like a whole, like he was definitely had a big influence over his fan base. And then it came out that he was, I won't get into the details, but like really like abusive to his girlfriend. And it's like, wow, you had a job of being a professional oversharer, but because we get control of what people see now, then you like truly never really know, even if it feels like you know every little thing about who you're watching. Yeah. And like that you can trust them as a leader, like then something like this comes out and it's like, oh, they just weren't going to share that with you.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to upload videos again. It's comical. I'm like, babe, time to just go. Time to go get a 9-to-5. Like you don't need to continue to do this.
I mean, it's partially the Britney question. When Britney Spears started to become famous, people started shitting on her, being like, you're supposed to be a role model. Why are you so like, you're being sexual and provocative and like you're inviting the male gaze? And it's like, and she like talks about this in her book, and we just kind of know this culture that is like, she's just performing, and she's performing in a way that she would like to perform, and she's comfortable performing up to an extent. And you would, there's a whole, the Britney question is deeper, so this was kind of a bad example, but like, was it Britney Spears' responsibility to be a role model? No.
Yeah.
No, these celebrities are not, we should not be holding them to a standard of being a role model. However, they do have a social capital that they are responsible for.
Yeah. And you know who misuses his social capital? Caligula.
Yes. Infamy. Oh.
Infamy.
Huge infamy.
It took a long time to get around to that, though. I was literally...
This is the stupidest, longest tease ever.
At the end of the chapters, when it was finally just, like, said out loud, I was like, thank God, we're here.
I knew it.
Yeah, I was like, we been knew.
I win. I'm glad
we just came out and said it.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out, Caligula. No, he doesn't deserve...
He has a talking horse.
He has a talking horse. I did look up the... because I needed to support a theory that was motivated by this chapter, that like I said, this man feels like a demon twink. And then I looked up the art of him, and he is.
Brayden is like tapping his chest right now, like, I knew it in my heart. I
know that was more of, that's more just like an anxious tick. But
I know, but I like to think of it the other way.
But like, I need to make sure you guys see this, because I need to be vindicated.
That's hilarious, because I've never seen, I don't know, ooh, big yawn. I've never seen even like a portrait of Caligula, and I've heard so many.
Oh my lord.
No, because this is not how Caligula is even represented generally. But like,
okay.
demon, like not generally like outside of Percy Jackson, but like,
oh my god,
demon twink.
It looks the worst.
Incredible art.
Incredible art. Viewers, or nope, you're not viewers. Listeners, hey, look up Caligula Percy Jackson. That's what Braden typed in, I think.
Yeah. Or you probably already know, because y'all are more entrenched in the fandom than we are.
It's so true.
We can't be too entrenched in the fandom, because then we'll spoil things for ourselves.
Exactly.
That's so real. We're doing it out of our own safety.
Like how I know, who dies in this book.
Oh, fuck you for that.
Book? Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we already talked about this, right?
We did. Yeah, I just forgot.
Or maybe I said
no. You said
I thought it was in this book. It is in this book. Someone will die by the end of this book.
Ruh-roh.
They're in this room.
Oh my god.
Guys,
what are our sass moments? What are our sass moments?
Okay, well, just breezing past that. I was very into a part that I did read at the beginning of this episode, which is the opener to chapter 9. And I quote, "Oh, villainy." That's it. And I think that's so funny, because
it was slang.
Who's going to say that? Like, come on, dramatics, you know?
It did make me laugh. Apollo's going through it, but like anytime that he complains about his position, and like we just always hear something like horrible about Meg's backstory that just totally undercuts whatever Apollo's upset about.
Yeah.
Mine is, Grover explained what we'd heard in the dumpster. Then he backed up and explained why we'd been in a dumpster. Then he explained how I'd wet my pants, and that's why I was wearing hot pink camo. Oh, all the dry hands nod, as if this was the real question that had been bothering them. It would have been the real question bothering me.
Mine is, Melly's face clouded over, which was unsurprising, since she was a cloud.
Yeah, come on.
And I also liked, I didn't note this down, but like she seemed to be dreaming of her days as a single cloud.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, literally, ladies, y'all ever dreaming about your days as a single cloud? Because I so frequently
it was dream- good.
Also, an honorable mention to the repeating all horses talk joke.
Oh my god, I know. Okay, she was getting so scandalized. She was like, what the fuck? Like
what do you mean all horses? Yeah. Who are our offerings for? Mine is for Piper.
There for 4 or 5 seconds.
Mine
is a lot for me.
Mine is for a friend of ours that got a name drop, but we haven't seen him. And Apollo actually mourns the fact that we don't get to see him. Marcus Aurelius.
You love that bitch.
He's just the best option.
Okay.
And that's that, folks.
No, because I'm not about to stan any Roman emperor, you know. But he was just the best of the bunch.
I don't know. You've talked about him enough that I feel like you might be standing a little bit.
maybe a little. Okay, guys, maybe a little bit.
I was tied between Melly and Meg, but I think it has to be Meg.
Yeah.
He just, oh my god. This poor girl. This poor girl. She would love Fizz.
She would.
Sorry to Meg's dad. Sorry to this man.
He wasn't like a character, though.
Yeah.
Also, he's a plot device.
He's been dead for a while.
Die in these like chapters.
Sorry, he got a name. Philip.
It was Philip. Yeah.
Philip.
With two L's specifically.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, but like we've known he's been dead, and his death scene wasn't even like recounted in this.
Yeah, he's still alive. He lost his life work, but he's still alive, and he should be grateful. I'm voting off the horse that can talk. I don't like it.
Bad vibe. No. Bad energy. No, the horse that can talk has incredibly bad.
No.
It's giving BoJack Horseman in a way I don't like.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes. I literally imagined it in BoJack Horseman's voice.
That's exactly it. Like, I can't picture an actual horse. All I'm picturing is BoJack.
Well, yep. Fuck you guys. I imagined him as Maximus from Tangled. And so I like
that
this
horse can't talk.
Yeah,
that's
but
the horse who knows his place.
But what if
and that place is not speaking?
But what if no? Okay, he's spirited in the exact same way, and I just think that if Maximus could talk, it would be him. And I really like that guy.
He's clearly evil, though.
Yeah, but like evil schmevil.
Who do you vote off then?
Vote off for you.
Oh, Caligula.
Okay, great. Glad you did that. I'm also voting the horse off.
Oh, no. Wait, Caligula's worse.
If it wasn't, if you did not pick Caligula, I was like, then someone has to pick him. But, like, now that you have, it's horse.
Beta.
Okay, horse. I like the horse.
There's a horse in the hospital. There are a lot of memes about horses.
Horses.
We love horses as a culture. We don't get into that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, I think there were cultures before us that liked them a lot more.
That's true. We don't need them as much.
Yeah. Liked them. Well, okay, quote of the day.
Flop. What are horses doing for us? Okay, glue.
Shut, Brayden.
Brayden.
Enough.
You're a vegetarian.
I am.
Making jokes about that. I guess vegans are the ones who are
actually. We still be racing horses, like that's okay either. We said dogs, that's bad. Horses, that's fine.
Yeah.
I guess they do be running. Like, I guess they do be running no matter what.
Maybe people view it as better because there's a person also on the horse. So it's like,
it's the, so equal, it's like the person. The danger is kind of divided.
People do typically ride
the horse is racing.
The horse is racing for sure. The person is trying to take credit for it.
Yeah.
That's true. The person didn't. It's fine.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us next week. We'll be discussing
chapters 13 through 16.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. And we also have a coffee account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com. Brayden just got up from where he's sitting. In a kind of a threatening way. Is he trying
to... Yeah, that confused me. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.